Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the
power. We want to
Hallelujah, and welcome back. We are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. We welcome back all of the precious listeners throughout the United States as well as the globe, and those that are in the archives foraging for the word of the Lord. We know that the Lord has prophesied and spoken to the church in Amos 8, chapter 11. That's Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, that the days will come, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of food and water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That's what we have seen come to pass in the United States of America, where you can hear plenty of philosophies of men and the doctrine of men and the traditions of men. But the sheep of the Lord stagger east and west and north and south from church to church seeking the word of the Lord. And we see, unfortunately, today it is all too common not to find it. We have the message of the Lord in the queue for this evening's segment. This is the Garment of the Lord, part two, Garment of the Lord. This is the recent prophecy. The Lord is speaking directly from the throne to the church through his mighty prophet, Dr. David Awar, the Malachi 3:1, the Malachi 4:5. The prophet that is sent to restore the global church that has literally thrown the word of God out. And we've also removed the mighty Holy Spirit, wallowing in sin and wallowing in our ways. And our sin has separated us from the Lord. And this is the message to the church to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. This is the message of the Lord of the garment of righteousness that we see in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. That's Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, where the Lord tells us clearly, blessed is he that is invited to the wedding supper, the Lamb, for the church will be wearing a spotless garment. The righteousness, that spotless garment, is the righteousness of the saints. We know that the word tells us our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And the Lord has spoken in this end time revival that he would pour out his spirit in Joel chapter 2:28, the mighty Holy Spirit. We see it again in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, the oil and wine church. This would be the righteousness of the Lord by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, that the Lord would ignite a powerful end-time revival. But now we're becoming to get aware that this revival isn't at all what the church thought. It's not about stuffing the pews with people. It certainly isn't about money. It has nothing to do at all with the kingdom of this world, but rather the kingdom of God, to prepare to enter into the kingdom of God. It is a repentance revival, a revival of turning away from sin, prepare for the coming of the Messiah, the sin that has separated us here in the United States in the house of the Lord, the love of money, the sexual addiction. And it's true that we only fast when we sleep. And sackcloth is foreign and unknown, and yet these are the humble ways of the Lord. And this is the message that we will hear tonight in part two, where Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Important to keep in mind that when Joshua appears before the angel of the Lord in filthy clothes, these are the filthy clothes defiled by sin. Also, at this time, Satan appears on his right side to accuse him. And this is an interesting scenario that one sees today's church, right now, in the United States of America. that instead of being dressed in the glorious wedding gown, the garment of the Lord, in anticipating the rapture, the church today is robed in filthy clothes. And the heart of the matter here is that for as long as she is dressed in filthy clothes, the devil has a claim over her because essentially she has covenanted with the devil. Or in other words, the church is walking in agreement with the Lord, or with the agreement to the enemy. She's clearly in disagreement with the Lord. And if the church is walking in agreement with the Lord, we will see that obviously she will be in disagreement, not fellowshipping and not mingling with the world. She will be separate from the world. That includes the entertainment, the vileness of the things that our eyes consume in the United States, the gospel of prosperity, which is from the pit of hell, abuse the grace. We have so much grace when the Bible warns us sternly that what is left for the propitiation of sins, if we abuse the grace of God, we find that in Hebrews. And again, we find in Hebrews 12:14, without a holiness, no man, no one will see the Lord. When the angel of the Lord orders that a rich and glorious garment be placed on Joshua, the claim the devil has over him ceases to exist. This is Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord gives him charge to walk in righteousness so as to inherit the rapture. The matter of the glorious wedding gown. This is our new wineskin that the Messiah prophesied of. Clearly in the scriptures that we would have new wineskin unless the old skin, the carnal skin, burst and not able to contain the mighty Holy Spirit. This cannot be taken lightly by the church in these last days, because the church is sitting at the brink of the mighty visitation of the Holy Spirit and rapture. This is the kingdom of God, children of the Lord. It has nothing at all to do with that garbage that we see on TV, with that pleading, begging, and manipulating for money that we see, with these carnal activities that we try to pass off as revival, and the Holy Spirit isn't even there. You can tell that because within but a few moments, the church recycles back to sin and lives just the world. You don't need to be a theologian to distinguish or even be that spiritually sensitive to discern that a church that is in sin is clearly not fellowshipping with the mighty Holy Spirit. But the rapture, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, will only take the saints, the church, who will be wearing the glorious wedding gown, without which no one will see the rapture. We will get to part 2, the garment of the Lord. I'll be your co-host for this evening's segment. My name is Pastor Louis Lupo of the Maryland Altar. And we are blessed to have Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California altar to share as well what the Lord has placed on his heart in this evening segment. One thing that has become clear as the Lord has sent us from church to church and pastor's conference and Bible study and cell groups is that the word of the Lord has been tossed out, has been treated with disdain, has been diluted, and in fact, ignored. And one would think in a country of so many Christians and with so many Bibles in production, that we would understand that this is the word of the Lord, that heaven and earth will perish, but the word of the Lord will not. You would think we would focus a little bit more time, attention, and priority upon the word of the Lord. And I want to just read one scripture for this evening's segment before we kick off. This is Matthew chapter 13. This is Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And remember, this is the word of the Lord, and not only that, but we will hear the secrets of the kingdom of God that has been given to the church. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. He told them many things in parable, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." This is the seed. Let's follow this carefully. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Understand, precious listeners, was Christ, as we read in verse 2, speaking to large crowds that were about him. This is Isaiah chapter 6 being fulfilled, verses 9 through 12, where you hear the kingdom of God being preached, and yet the eyes and the ears were stopped. For we find in verse 10 that the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear, understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them, says the Lord." That's Isaiah chapter 6, the Messiah is quoting, our Lord and Savior is quoting Isaiah, the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 6. This is the living word of the Lord. Notice he's not using past tense. This is present tense. The word is alive. It's coming to pass in the ears of his hearers, just as it is coming to pass today. "But blessed are your eyes," the Lord says, "in your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Now here is the target verse of Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Here's the secrets to the kingdom of God. You can compare this, what our Lord and Savior says, to what the church is preaching today, and then you can decide for yourself that the church has taken an entirely different road. Verse 18. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Remember, this is our Messiah, our Lord and Savior. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He's going to give us the secrets of the kingdom of God. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This, the seed, sown along the path. And so the Messiah tells us that the seed is the word of God, is the message of the kingdom of God, and the gospel that Christ preached. That seed was only one gospel: repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The seed, not money. It was never money. It was never sow a seed and get your miracle, ever, in the Bible. Those that were merchandising in the temple were thrown out entirely. They were sowing the type of worldly seed that you see in today's church. The children of the Lord, they were thrown out. Christ beat them out. He beat them out with the whip. We read that in the Gospel of John. The seed is the message of the kingdom. The seed is the word of God. Nowhere in the Bible do we see such perverse heresy and doctrine that is taught today, that the seed is anything but the kingdom of God and the word of God. And yet we see money, and we see favors, and we see success, and we see the children of the Lord directed to the earth instead of the kingdom of God. And what's so frightening about this, that we take a few minutes prior to the message to understand the church has gone so far away from the word of God, she has forgotten that the secrets to the kingdom of God were given to her. That is, to us, those that call upon the name of the Lord, we were given the secrets of the kingdom of God from the Messiah himself. And we have seen the church take that seed, monetize it, and go down another path, a path that does not lead to the kingdom of God, a path that is put out there with hallucinations and delusions from the enemy. And we see the majority of the church walking on that path as sheep to the slaughter. And we see them where we have materialized and marketed Christ. We have marketed the blood of the Lamb. We have turned the house of the Lord into a merchandise house to the point that it is now an absolute embarrassment and humiliation, and an international embarrassment and humiliation. We can invite Muslims in the house of the Lord to worship another god. Why not, if the church is worshiping money, which is already worshiping another god? Verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. We see this a lot. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness, riches, and wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So in verse 22, we have the very definition from Christ himself that they become deceived by wealth. and deceived by materialism, it chokes out the original seed, the Word of God. The Word of God that has the resurrection power in it, the Word of God, the power of deliverance, with the blood and the cross. And this is what we have seen all throughout the land and all throughout the globe, because we have forgotten that Christ gave us the secrets to the kingdom of God. So that anytime we hear anybody talking about the seed, and it's not referencing the secrets of the kingdom of God that Christ gave the church, now you know they are lying. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And this crop, precious listeners, is not a physical crop, because we don't worship the Lord in the physical. The scripture tells us clearly we worship in spirit and truth. We know the wedding supper of the Lamb is a spiritual wedding. We know that flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God, that the mortal must put on the immortal, that this producing a crop and yielding 160 or 30-fold, this is in the kingdom of God. So that one who receives the message of the Lord then begins to go and live and evangelize and share and becomes like that tree, like the mustard seed tree that the Messiah described, that even the birds of the air can nest in it. And the word of the Lord goes out, and many hear the good news of the coming of the Messiah, the power of the blood and the cross, that the mighty Holy Spirit has been sent to us so that we're not orphans. The mighty Holy Spirit is the wisdom to the church. He is the one that teaches us. He is the one that enables us to overcome sin so that we do not abuse the grace of God, so that we are indeed wearing the lovely garment, the spectacular garment that we'll hear in just a few moments, that the mighty Holy Spirit has woven for those that depend upon and call upon and rely upon him, and those that are covered by the blood of the Lamb, not recycling for the ways of the world, but whose focus is on the kingdom of God. And with that, that's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Also, please do read offline. These are the secrets of the kingdom of God that Christ has given. You will see a tremendous chasm, a tremendous dichotomy. Your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes are open. Now, what the Messiah preached and taught and shared with us and continues to preach, share, and teach to us through the mighty Holy Spirit, it's entirely different than what we're hearing in the house of the Lord today in the fallen church in the United States of America. And that's why we are here, to share the word of the Lord and the message of the Lord from the mighty prophet, that the church would be restored and prepare in earnest for the coming of the Messiah. Prepare in righteousness, prepare in holiness. With that, I'd like to go out to the California altar and Pastor Jose Bobadilla. We bless the Lord and thank you so much for your time, Pastor Jose, to share with the listening audience. What has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening segment?
Amen, Pastor Lou, and shalom. And shalom Amen. To all the precious saints that are tuned in from coast to coast and from nation to nation, as the Lord may allow you to hear the message of the Lord that is being shouted through his mightiest prophet from nation to nation. And those whom the Lord has given the ears to hear this message will hear it and will receive it and will run with this message and will know that this is the true message of the Lord. This is the message that is restoring the true gospel of salvation, precious saints. the true gospel of repentance. True repentance, precious saints. The kind of repentance that transforms a nation, a complete nation, as the Lord has allowed us to see in the nation of Kenya. From all the way up to the president and the candidates for the presidency, repenting before the Lord and gathering together at the meeting of the Lord, down to millions and millions of millions of the common people, just like in the days of Nineveh, the days when the prophet Jonah, precious saints, full of repentance, has that power to transform a person who is completely headed for death and for eternal damnation into the highway of holiness, redirects your walk, redirects you, and the mighty Holy Spirit will guide you. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that he preached, the message of repentance, the message of righteousness and holiness, the message of rebuking sin, of being a separate people, of rebuking the ways of the world. As Pastor Lou shared in the book of John, our Lord Jesus took away those who made a marketplace out of the temple and the altar of our Lord. The house of our Father, Jehovah. And we see that again. We see that happening again. I heard it with my own ears. They even mock that scripture. And they laughed. And in the hallways of the church, they set up shop. And they began to peddle merchandise. Precious saints, this is the time, the hour that the Lord is revealing these truths to those whom he has chosen. This is the hour to repent. This is the hour that the Lord has sent his messenger to warn the nations of the earth, to warn the churches. This is the time that we are seeing that was spoken about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, precious saints. These are these days. This is another confirmation that we're living in the end of days, as the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And this is what we're seeing in the house of the Lord, in the church here in America. The church in America is completely spiritually dead. Completely. They cannot hear the voice of the mighty Holy Spirit, which is speaking very loud and clear at this hour. This is the time to repent, precious saints, as the Lord is warning us, telling us that time is over. Time is over. The Messiah is coming. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled one after another. Those of us who the Lord has allowed us to accept this message and to see as witnesses, we are here to testify that this is true. We have seen this revival with our own eyes. We have seen millions upon millions gathering, receiving the Lord's necessity of money without the hat being passed around, without anybody being at the entrance collecting the entry funds. This is true revival that is happening, precious saints. And the Lord has sent his mighty prophet to warn us and to warn the nations of the earth that our Messiah is coming. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Jose. That's Pastor Jose Obadiah from the California altar, sharing yet again another scripture speaking to the time and the season currently in, right before the coming of the Messiah. And we can see the signs all around us, everything from we're now at year six, roughly, of zero interest rates. That's year six of zero interest rates, something you will not find in the entire economic history of Western civilization. Because the economies globally, whether China, Japan, Europe, or the United States, are that bad. And so we see governments and sovereign nations in full-blown panic printing money to prop up the economy that has been ravaged by the black horse of the apocalypse. The mighty prophet prophesied back in 2008 and quickly came to pass. We are now at 6 years and nobody has an answer. Likewise, with the wars and the rumors of war, we have global wars everywhere, and now we can see in our newspapers and wires as the sovereign nations cede hegemony or influence to Iran, that is, in other words, they will let Iran have her way. On the nuclear talks, we see Israel backed into a corner on the wires and in the videos all throughout the world that the prophesied Iran-Israel war is soon something we will see on our front page news headlines or on the wires. All the prophecies of the Lord, whether it was Katrina, whether Indonesia, whether Boko Haram in Nigeria, earthquakes and tsunamis, have come to pass. We have the headlines for tomorrow today, that the ears and the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of the church would be opened to hear what the mighty Holy Spirit, what the Lord is saying from the throne of heaven to his mighty prophet. And this is for the church. There's no money involved here at all. There's no money over there at the California altar or over here at Pastor Lou at Maryland altar at all. This is all pro bono, if you will. This is all the work of the Lord. The Lord takes care of it. And one of the largest, most certainly most powerful ministry on planet Earth, there's no money taken either. Nor will you see any PayPal. Nor will you see any gifts here and buy this and buy that. No, this is the word of the Lord. This is the message of the Lord. This is the message of the hour. It's too important. There isn't time for that anymore. You can find that in the Bible too. Just read Jeremiah chapter 44 and 45, the conversation of his scribe Baruch with the mighty prophet and the Lord as far as a time. This is not the time to purchase. This is not the time to be buying and selling. The same thing that we saw with the foolish virgins, the very foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25, went out to buy and sell. No, we need the mighty Holy Spirit and need to call upon the Lord right now at this hour and repent and turn away from sin. For the mighty Holy Spirit, he is holy and won't fellowship with the church that's in complete apostasy, rejection of the Lord, rejection of the word, rejection of the way of the Lord, rejection of holiness, and rejection of righteousness. Hebrews 12:14 will indeed come to pass. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let's get to the message of the Lord at this hour. This is the garment of the Lord. The garment of the Lord, part two. A powerful message, a life-changing message. This will change your destiny to the kingdom of God. Catch this message. This is life-changing. We thank the Lord for sending his end-time bond servant to share the message. We thank the Lord for the word of the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit at this hour. This is garment of the Lord, part two.
Must have called you.
Ni Mungu tu peke ambaye lazima awe amekuita.
Those not yet called,
wale ambao bado hawajaitwa,
they are drinking in the bars,
wanalewa kule kwenye mabaa,
and living out there,
na kuishi kule inje.
Listen to what he says, verse 2.
Sikia anavyosema mstari wake wa pili.
Before I come to the garment the church is wearing.
Kabla nilifikia hili vazi ambalo kanisa limevalia.
Verse 2 says.
Mstari wa pili yuasema.
He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray.
Kwa kuwa aweza kuwachukulia kwa upole wale wasiojua na kupotoka.
Since he himself is subject to weakness.
Kwa kuwa yeye mwenyewe ni dhaifu.
Everybody watch here.
Kila mtu utazama hapa.
Let me explain this.
Hebu nieleze haya.
When the Levitical priesthood.
Wakati awa makuhani wa kila wii.
Aaron.
Haruni.
Aaronic priesthood.
Yule ukuhani wa kiharuni.
When they were to appear before the Lord.
Wakati iliwapasa wajiwasilishe mbele za Bwana.
There was a protocol.
Kulikuwa na mpangilio.
To wash and so forth. I've skipped those a little bit.
Ya kujiosha na mambo kama hayo nimeruka hiyo kidogo.
But to wear the garment.
Lakini kuvalia vazi.
If you looked at the turban.
Ukiangalia kile kilemba.
There was a folding.
Kulikuwa na mkunjo.
It was folded in front here. There was a folding.
Ilikuwa imekunjwa hapa mbele. Ilikuwa na mkunjo.
The turban had a folding.
Kilemba kilikuwa na mkunjo.
And there was a writing, a golden writing.
Na kulikuwa na maandishi katika rangi ya kidhahabu.
Which was inserted inside the folding.
Ambayo ilikuwa imeingizwa ndani ya hiyo kunjo.
And if you removed it.
Na ikiwa ungeliondoa.
It read.
Ilikuwa inasoma hivi.
Holy unto the Lord.
Mutakatifu kwake Bwana.
That was the symbol of consecration.
Hiyo ilikuwa ni ishara ya wakfu.
Of separation.
Ya utengano.
Holy unto the Lord, given to the Lord.
Mutakatifu kwake Bwana, amepeano kwa Bwana.
In other words, bonded to the Lord.
Kwa maneno mengine, ameungamanishwa kwa Bwana.
But when he came here,
lakini alipokuja hapa,
to offer sacrifice,
kupeana dhabihu,
with that garment,
na hilo vazi,
he following.
Ya kwamba alifanya yafuatayo.
He had a weakness.
Alikuwa na udhaifu.
Do you understand why the garment is lower?
Je, waelewa ni kwa nini vazi lilikuwa chini?
He had a weakness.
Alikuwa na udhaifu.
That as he worshiped.
Ya kwamba alipoabudu.
He had to say.
Ilibidi aseme.
Lord, my how about my sin?
Bwana, na je kuhusu dhambi zangu?
How about the sins of my household?
Na je kuhusu dhambi ya nyumba yangu?
So he had to offer sin for those first.
Kwa hivyo, ilimpasa peane dhabihu kwa hiyo kwanza.
Sin for his own and for his household.
Dhambi yake mwenyewe na ya nyumba yake.
After that.
Baada ya hapo.
Then worship on behalf of the people.
Abudu kwa niaba ya watu sasa.
That is very weak.
Hiyo ni dhaifu sana.
That's what he talks about.
Hiyo ndiyo ananena kuhusu.
And he says anyhow.
Na anasema hata hivyo.
He still had power.
Bado alikuwa na nguvu.
To do the following.
Ya kufanya yafuatayo.
What I'm going to say is very big now.
Kile naenda kusema ni kikubwa sana sasa.
He still had authority.
Bado alikuwa na mamlaka.
To deal gently.
Ya kufanya nao kwa upole.
And look at people.
Na kuwatazama watu.
Who were sinning out of ignorance.
Waliokuwa wakitenda dhambi pasipo na kujua.
Did you understand me now?
Je, ulinielewa sasa?
Not intention. I'm going to come there.
Sio kwa kimaksudi. Nitafikia hapo lakini.
To take the sheep that were going astray.
Kuwachukua hawa kondoo ambao walikuwa wanapotoka.
Ignorantly.
Kwa kutokujua.
That is an indictment to the church. That is a call to the church.
Hiyo ni mwito kwa kanisa.
To wake up.
Ya kuamuka.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says.
Anasema.
No one takes dishonor upon himself.
Hakuna mtu ajichukuliaye heshima hii juu yake mwenyewe.
He must be called by God, meaning he must be appointed by God.
Lazima awe ameitwa na Mungu, kumaanisha awe ameteuliwa na Mungu.
Just as Aaron was.
Jinsi tu Aruni alivyokuwa.
Verse 5 is the transition.
Mustari wa 5 ndio mabadiliko.
So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest.
Pia Kristo hakujitwalia utukufu yeye mwenyewe wa kukuwa kuhani mkuu.
There is a problem.
Kunayo shida.
Why has the church called herself?
Je, ni kwa nini kanisa limejiita?
Some of you have tried to call yourself.
Wengine wenyu mmejaribu kujiita wenyewe.
And I'm here to tell you.
Na niko hapa kuambieni.
That Jehovah is still calling.
Ya kwamba Yehova angali anaita.
Bado anaita watu.
Bado anaita watu.
Even today.
Hata leo hii.
He says.
Anasema.
Even Christ Jesus.
Hata Kristo Yesu.
Could not take upon himself this honor.
Hangejichukulia heshima hiyo mwenyewe.
He had to be called by the Lord.
Ilibidi aitwe na Mungu.
To do this.
Kufanya hivi.
But listen what he says.
Sikiza anavyosema.
But God said to him.
Bali Mungu alimwambia.
You are my son.
Wewe ni mwanangu.
Meaning he's saying.
Kumaanisha anasema.
That Christ also now came.
Ya kwamba Kristo naye pia kaja.
With another garment.
Akaja na vazi lingine.
I don't want to overspill it because it is big in front here.
Sitaki kuimwaga zaidi maana ni kubwa hapa mbele.
Because he says.
Maana anasema.
When Christ came.
Wakati Kristo alipokuja.
Now comes one wearing another garment.
Sasa aja mwingine aliyevalia vazi jingine.
And when he comes wearing another garment.
Na anapokuja akiwa amevalia vazi jingine.
He says this.
Anasema hivi.
That he was also appointed.
Ya kwamba pia naye aliteuliwa.
Called.
Aliitwa.
But he says.
Lakini anasema.
That out of his garment.
Ya kwamba kutokana na vazi lake.
Now there is sonship.
Sasa kuna uwana.
It's different now.
Sasa ni tofauti.
Because he says, but God said to him.
Maana anasema, bali Mungu alimwambia.
You are my son.
Wewe ni mwanangu.
Today I have become your father.
Mimi leo nimekuwa babako.
Verse 6.
Mustari wa 6.
And he says in another place.
Pia pahali pengine yuasema.
You are a priest forever.
Wewe ndiwe kuhani milele.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says.
Anasema.
When the dispensation of another garment appears.
Wakati majira ya vazi lingine inapowasilisha.
The higher garment.
Vazi la kiwango cha juu.
The highest garment.
Vazi la kiwango cha juu kabisa.
He says now.
Anasema. Maana sasa una haki.
You are a son.
Wewe ni mwana.
And he says, behold, now you are a son.
Na nasema tazama sasa uu mwana.
I am talking to the church in parables.
Ninanena na kanisa katika mafumbo.
I hope you are seeing yourself as a church.
Nataraji unajiona wewe mwenyewe kama kanisa.
He's saying,
anasema,
when this higher garment, this highest garment appears,
wakati hili vazi la kiwango cha juu linajiwasilisha, linakuja.
Now,
sasa,
it brings a relationship, sonship.
Linaleta uhusiano, uwana.
It brings right.
Inaleta haki.
It brings what you can claim for.
Inaleta kile ambacho unaweza kudai.
Urithi.
Urithi.
Inheritance. Yeah.
Urithi.
It now brings rights, inheritance.
Inaweza kuleta sasa urithi.
But what amazes me,
lakini kinachonishangaza,
when you look at what this new garment that we are now discussing,
wakati unapotazama kile ambacho hili vazi jipya ambalo tunasemezana sasa,
what it can be able to do,
kile ambacho linaweza kukufanyia,
he says,
anasema,
that now you are priesthood,
ya kwamba sasa ukuhani wako,
because of the new dispensation,
kwa sababu ya majira mapya,
of the new garment,
ya vazi jipya,
now your priesthood,
sasa ukuhani wako,
is not for offering the blood year in, year out. One year, one year.
Si ya kutoa damu, mwaka nenda, mwaka rudi. Mwaka huu, mwaka ujao.
Every Yom Kippur.
Kila Yom Kippur.
Annually.
Kila mwaka.
No, he says.
Hapana, anasema.
That because of this garment.
Ya kwamba kwa sababu ya hili vazi.
This highest garment.
Hili vazi la kiwango cha juu zaidi.
Now you are priesthood.
Sasa ukuhani wako.
Which means you are worship.
Kumaanisha kuabudu kwako.
Is forever.
Ni ya milele.
Did you hear?
Je, ulisikia?
I guess you are beginning to understand where you ought to be as a church.
Na kisia umeanza kuelewa unastahili kukua wapi kama kanisa.
How are you doing, Jen?
Waendeleaje, Jen?
I just chose randomly. I can say Peter.
Nilichagua tu haba kiholela tu, naweza sema hata Petro.
How are you doing, Peter?
Unaendeleaje, Petro?
I'm struggling.
Ah, ninangangana.
What do you mean? Tell me, my son. How are you struggling? What's the problem?
Unamaanisha nini? Niambie mwanangu, mbona unangangana? Shida iwapi?
You say, I'm struggling with my faith and my salvation.
Ah, ninangangana na imani yangu na wokovu wangu.
I say, what do you mean? Do you go to church?
Alafu nauliza, unamaanisha nini je? Huendi kanisani?
Well, I took a short break.
Basi, nilipumzika kidogo.
I took a short break.
Nilipumzika kidogo.
I you know the way you feel like you want to take a short rest.
Waona jinsi unavyojihisi ungependa upumzike kidogo.
That's why I asked.
Ndio sababu niliuliza.
If you are wearing the garment.
Ikiwa umevalia vazi.
Can you show it to me?
Je, unaweza kunionyesha?
And you said.
Na unasema.
Look.
Tazama.
I'm wearing it.
Nimelivalia vazi.
I don't see.
Na nasema silioni.
He says.
Anasema.
When this dispensation came.
Wakati majira haya yalipokuja.
Of the highest garment.
Ya vazi la kiwango cha juu zaidi.
It brings eternal worship.
Lina leta ibada ya milele.
Which means superior worship.
Kumaanisha ibada ya kiwango cha juu.
Not every time trying to change garments, huh?
Si kila wakati wajaribu kubadilisha mavazi.
This time I feel like changing the design.
Wakati huu ningalipenda nibadilishe muundo wake.
No.
Hapana.
He says this one.
Anasema hii hapa.
Is the garment of eternity.
Ni vazi la umilele.
And he says,
na anasema,
you are a priest forever.
Wewe ndiwe kuhani milele.
In the order of Melchizedek.
Kwa mfano wa Melchizedeki.
Do you now understand the garment I'm talking about?
Je, sasa unaelewa lile vazi ambalo nanena kulihusu?
Do you now understand the garment that the church ought to wear in Kenya today?
Je, sasa unaelewa lile vazi ambalo kanisa lastahili kuvalia hapa Kenya hivi leo?
That is what the church ought to be wearing now.
Hicho ndicho kanisa lastahili kwa limevalia sasa hivi.
He's saying,
anasema,
the garment,
vazi,
in the order of Melchizedek.
Katika mpangilio wa Melchizedeki.
Wow. Because all of you.
Kwa sababu ninyi nyote.
Turn with me.
Geuka pamoja nami.
Very fast and then I come back.
Kwa haraka kisha nirudie hapo.
First Peter.
Petro wa kwanza.
First Peter.
Petero wa kwanza.
Chapter 2.
Mlango wa pili.
First Peter chapter 2.
Petro wa kwanza mlango wa pili.
Verse 4.
Mustari wa nne.
Yes. Verse 4 onwards.
Mustari wa nne kuendelea.
As you come to him,
munapo muendea yeye,
the living stone,
aliye jiwe lililo hai,
rejected by men,
lililo kataliwa na wanadamu,
but chosen by God,
bali kwa Mungu ni teule,
and precious to him,
na la thamani kwake,
you also,
ninyi nanyi,
like living stone,
kama mawe yalo hai,
are being built,
mumejengwa,
into a spiritual house,
kuwa nyumba ya roho,
to be a holy priesthood,
kuhani kutakatifu,
offering spiritual sacrifices,
mukitoa dhabihu za kiroho,
acceptable to God,
zinazokubaliwa na Mungu,
through Jesus Christ,
kwa njia ya Yesu Kristo.
Did you understand your priesthood?
Je, mnaelewa ukuhani wenu?
Do you understand the quality of the garment?
Je, mnaelewa hii kiwango cha vazi?
You have been called,
mumeitwa,
in the order of the Messiah,
katika mfano wa Masihi.
And he's saying,
na anasema,
that there is no higher calling,
ya kwamba hakuna mwito mwingine wa juu
kuliko hiyo.
Kuliko hiyo.
He's saying,
anasema,
that when you became a Christian,
ya kwamba ulipofanyika Mkristo,
God called you.
Mungu alikuita.
It was a calling.
Ilikuwa ni mwito.
That you may begin to worship.
Ya kwamba ukaanze kuabudu.
And doing the following.
Na kufanya yafuatayo.
Walking to the four corners.
Tembea katika pembe ine.
You come to one corner and you sprinkle.
Unaenda kwa pembe moja na unamimina.
You come to another corner.
Unaenda kwa pembe nyingine.
You sprinkle.
Unamimina.
Another corner.
Unaenda pembe nyingine.
You sprinkle.
Unamimina.
Another corner.
Pembe nyingine.
You sprinkle.
Unamimina.
He called you to walk the four corners.
Alikuita kutembea pembe zote ine.
He's saying.
Anasema.
That when you became a Christian.
Ya kwamba ulipofanyika Mkristo.
He said.
Anasema.
It was a calling.
Ilikuwa ni mwito.
For you to start walking the four corners.
Kwako wewe kuanza kutembea pembe.
The four corners of the ark of the covenant.
Pembe zote ine za sanduku la agano.
Sprinkling.
Ukinyunyiza.
Sprinkling.
Ukinyunyiza.
Sprinkling.
Ukinyunyiza.
Sprinkling.
Ukinyunyiza.
And again.
Na tena.
Sanctify.
Ukitakasa.
Sanctify.
Ukitakasa.
Sanctify.
Ukitakasa.
Sanctify.
Ukitakasa.
And again.
Na tena.
Consecrating.
Ukitia wakfu.
Consecrating.
Ukitia wakfu.
Consecrating.
Ukitia wakfu.
Consecrating.
Ukitia wakfu.
With the blood.
Na damu.
Only the blood of Jesus can consecrate.
Ni damu ya Yesu pekee iwezayo kutia wakfu.
That you began to worship the worship of the four corners.
Ya kwamba ulianza kuabudu ibada ya pembe zote ine.
You began to worship the worship of consecration.
Ulianza kuabudu ibada ya utakaso.
The worship of the ark of the covenant.
Ibada ya sanduku la agano.
And he says,
na anasema,
in your hand is blood.
Katika mkono wako imo damu.
And when I see you,
na wakati nakuona,
I said, hey Aaron.
Nasema, hey Aruni.
He said, no, I am not Aaron.
Anasema, mimi sio Haruni.
But who are you?
Basi wewe ni nani?
But a child of God.
Mwana wa Mungu.
Since when?
Tangia lini?
He says, can't you see?
Anasema, uwezi kuona.
And then I ask,
alafu nauliza,
how about that blood you are carrying?
Na je hiyo damu uliyoibeba?
He says, the blood of the Lamb of God.
Nasema, damu ya mwana kondoo wa Mungu.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That you begin to offer the blood of Jesus.
Ya kwamba unaanza kuipeana damu ya Yesu.
When you offer the blood of Jesus,
wakati unapoitoa damu ya Yesu,
he uses the word,
anatumia neno,
acceptable sacrifice,
dhabihu inayokubalika.
The blood of Jesus,
damu ya Yesu,
is the only acceptable sacrifice.
Ni kile unastahili kuwa ukifanya.
Listen to me everybody.
Nisikilize kila mtu.
You cannot be a deliverer.
Hawezi kukua mkombozi.
Until you yourself have been delivered.
Hadi wewe mwenyewe umekombolewa.
So listen to this.
Kwa hivyo sikiza haya.
If the blood of Jesus delivers.
Ikiwa damu ya Yesu ukomboa.
You cannot do that worship here.
Hawezi kufanya ibada hiyo hapa.
When you yourself.
Ili hali wewe mwenyewe.
Have not been consecrated.
Haujatiwa wakfu.
You understand the message?
Je, unaelewa ujumbe?
Because if you do.
Kwa sababu ukifanya hivyo.
It is not acceptable.
Haikubaliki.
And you spoil for God.
Na unamuharibia Mungu.
Because.
Kwa sababu.
The people in the world.
Watu walio ulimwenguni.
They will look at the church.
Watalitazama kanisa.
Hey.
Hey.
Look the way she is sacrificing.
Tazama jinsi ambavyo anatoa dhabihu.
She is not following the new protocol.
Halifuati mpangilio mpya.
She's not following the new protocol.
Hafuatilii mpangilio mpya.
The new protocol.
Mpangilio mpya.
Is the protocol of the blood.
Ni mpangilio wa damu.
In other words.
Kwa maneno mengine.
The Lord is saying.
Bwana yuasema.
That when you are called as a Christian.
Ya kwamba wakati unapoitwa kama Mkristo.
You wear a garment.
Unavalia vazi.
A garment of the Lord.
Vazi la Bwana.
In the order of Melchizedek.
Katika mpangilio wa Melchizedek.
And when you do so.
Na wakati unapofanya hivyo.
Then you live the life of the blood.
Basi unaishi maisha ya damu.
The life of deliverance.
Maisha ya ukombozi.
Conversion.
Maisha ya kugeuzwa.
In other words, a born again life.
Kwa maneno mengine, maisha ya kuzaliwa upya.
I am now born again.
Sasa nimeokoka upya.
Meaning the blood has delivered you.
Kumaanisha damu imekukomboa.
But let me now move slowly into this thing.
Lakini hebu sasa nisonge pole pole katika haya mambo.
Let us go back and finish Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6.
Hebu turudi tena tumalizie Waibrania 5 mstari wa 6.
And then I'll come to the quality of the anointing.
Alafu nitafikia ile ufasaha wa upako.
Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6.
Waibrania mlango wa 5 mstari wake wa 6.
I am going to explain to you this new garment.
Ninaenda kuwaelezeeni hili vazi jipya.
It's a garment of covenant.
Ni vazi la agano.
That bonds you totally.
Ambalo linakufungamanisha kikamilifu.
And you cease to be you.
Na unakoma kukua wewe mwenyewe.
Your you is crucified with Christ.
Utu wako unasulubishwa na Kristo.
So when he says go,
kwa hivyo anaposema enenda,
you will go.
Utaenda.
Upende usipende.
Upende usipende.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The new priesthood.
Ukuhani
mpya. But look at verse 6, he says.
Mstari wa 6 yuasema.
The priesthood is forever.
Ukuhani ni wa milele.
In the order of Melchizedek.
Katika mpangilio wa Melchizedek.
And the church has been called in that lineage.
Na kanisa limeitwa katika mbaari hiyo.
What does that mean?
Je, hiyo inamaanisha nini?
If I remember the calling of Melchizedek.
Nikikumbuka mwito wa Melchizedek.
Which we are not reading now.
Ambayo hatuisomi sasa.
This is what he says about him.
Hii ndiyo anavyosema kumuhusu.
With no beginning of days.
Asiye na mwanzo wa siku.
And end of life.
Wala mwisho wa maisha.
Like son of man.
Kama mwana wa Adamu.
He remained priest of God forever.
Anabakia kuhani wa Mungu milele.
And says, but this Melchizedek.
Lakini anasema na huyu Melchizedeki.
He is the king of Salem.
Yeye ndiye mfalme wa Salemu.
Salem.
Salem.
Meaning the king of peace.
Kumaanisha mfalme wa amani.
When he says the king of peace.
Anaposema mfalme wa amani.
Meaning is the king of reconciliation.
Kumaanisha yeye ndiye mfalme wa upatanisho.
That is the only peace you can have.
Hiyo ndio amani ya pekee unaweza kuwa nayo.
That the man be reconciled with God.
Ya kwamba mtu akapatanishwa na Mungu.
And his meaning.
Na anamaanisha.
That peace is eternal.
Ya kwamba hiyo amani ni ya milele.
And that Melchizedek.
Na huyo Melchizedeki.
Apart from being the king of peace.
Kando na kukua mfalme wa amani.
He is also the king of righteousness.
Yeye pia ni mfalme wa uhaki.
Then now you understand the order of the garment you wear.
Basi sasa unaelewa mpangilio wa vazi uli ulilolivalia.
You don't need to be a genius.
Hauhitaji kuwa mwerevu sana.
A rocket scientist.
Hauhitaji kuwa mwanasayansi wa roketi.
A brain surgeon.
Hauhitaji kukuwa mpasuaji wa ubongo.
Whatever name you want to put it there.
Au jina lolote unataka kuweka hapo.
All you need to do,
kila unahitaji tu kufanya,
is to bring a small barometer,
ni kuleta tu barometer kidogo,
and put in the church,
alafu iweke katika kanisa,
and check the temperature,
alafu uangalie ile makali ya joto,
and check the performance,
uangalie vile wanatenda kazi.
Then you will know,
kisha utajua,
whether she is in the garment or not,
iwapo kanisa hilo liko katika vazi au la.
You see that?
Je, waona hayo?
Because he says,
maana anasema,
her calling,
mwito wake,
to wear the new garment,
kwa kuvalia hili vazi jipya,
is in the order of Melchizedek,
iko katika mpangilio wa Melchizedeki.
That means the wearing of the garment,
hiyo inamaanisha kuvaa kwa vazi hili.
The garment she wears,
vazi analovalia,
is a garment in the order of Melchizedek,
ni vazi katika mpangilio wa Melchizedeki.
But Melchizedek,
hiyo Melchizedeki,
is the king of peace,
ni mfalme wa amani,
the peace of God,
amani ya Mungu,
that surpasses human beings,
ipatayo fahamu ya wanadamu,
comes out of reconciliation,
ikija kwa upatanisho,
coming by the blood,
ikija kupitia kwa damu.
And he says,
na anasema,
when you are in peace,
wakati uko katika amani,
there is no war,
hakuna vita.
Which means when you are in peace,
kumaanisha ukiwa kwa amani,
you are walking in straight line,
unatembea katika njia iliyonyooka,
straight line,
njia iliyonyooka,
righteousness,
kwa uhaki.
Did you understand?
Je, mwaelewa?
That now when you walk in the straight line,
ya kwamba sasa mnapotembea katika njia iliyonyooka,
then you can live in that garment forever.
Basi unaweza kuishi katika hilo vazi milele.
Because he is the king of righteousness.
Kwa sababu yeye ndiye mfalme wa uhaki.
Let us look at the quality of anointing now.
Hebu tutazame ufasaha wa upako sasa.
The question is this.
Swali ndilo hili.
Have you worn this garment?
Je, umelivalia vazi hili?
As a church.
Kama kanisa.
Because this is a higher garment.
Maana hili vazi ni la kiwango cha juu.
And the church globally.
Na kanisa kote duniani.
All over the earth.
Kote kote ulimwenguni.
The church has lived lower.
Kanisa limeishi chini zaidi.
If you look at the Aaronic garments.
Ukiangalia lile vazi la kiaruni.
I am going to look at the quality of the anointing.
Ninaenda kutazama ufasaha wa upako.
That will wake you up another level.
Na hiyo itakuamsha kwa kiwango kingine.
Because you'll find.
Maana utagundua.
That the beauty that the Aaronic garment brought to them.
Ya kwamba ule urembo ambao vazi la kiharuni uliwaletea.
Consecrating them.
Ikiwatia wakfu.
Separating them.
Ikiwatenga.
Anointing them.
Ikiwapaka.
Giving them beauty.
Likiwapatia urembo.
Glory.
Utukufu.
Dignity.
Ukuu.
Honor.
Heshima.
That when it did that.
Ya kwamba ilipofanya hivyo.
It did in two places.
Ilifanya hivyo mara mbili.
It speaks about a relationship.
Inanena kuhusu uhusiano.
Between two places.
Baina ya mahala pawili.
Between here.
Kati ya hapa.
The pulpit.
Madhabahu.
And the congregation.
Na umati.
So he's talking about the garment of the congregation at the same time.
Kwa hivyo inanena kuhusu vazi la umati kwa wakati huo huo.
We are going to compare that. Don't worry about that.
Tunaenda kusawazisha. Usijali kuhusu hiyo.
Pastors,
wachungaji,
that's why when you teach your word,
hiyo ndio sababu mnapofundisha neno lako,
let the Lord help you.
Wacha Bwana awasaidie.
By making me teach here,
kwa kunisababisha nifundishe hapa,
he's teaching you.
Anawafundisha.
He's telling you.
Anawaambieni.
Deeper.
Kwa kilindi.
Deeper.
Kilindini.
Don't just teach quickly, take offering and go.
Usifundishe tu haraka, unachukua sadaka na kwenda.
No, don't do that.
Hapana, msifanye hivyo.
Because only the word can deliver the church.
Kwa sababu, ni neno pekee liwezalo kulikomboa kanisa.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Deeper.
Vilindini.
The word is very rich.
Neno ni la utajiri sana.
We are going to see a little transition now.
Tunaenda kuona mageuzi kidogo hapa sasa.
Let us look at the splendor of Christ's priesthood.
Hebo tuangalie ukuu wa ukuhani wa Kristo.
The splendor of that priesthood.
Ukuu wa ukuhani huo.
And also.
Na pia.
The splendor of the garment of the church.
Ukuu wa vazi la kanisa.
What did it do to the church?
Je, ilifanya nini kanisa?
What is it supposed to do to you?
Je, inapasa ikufanyie nini wewe binafsi?
Let us continue looking at the splendor of this priesthood.
Hebu tuendelee kuangalia ukuu wa ukuhani huu.
The garment that you wear.
Vazi ambalo mnavalia.
The glorious garment of the Messiah.
Vazi la utukufu la Masihi.
That you inherited.
Ambalo mlilirithi.
What does it do to you?
Je, linawafanyia nini?
That glorious garment like we have seen the rest.
Hilo vazi la utukufu jinsi tumeona yale mengine.
Is meant to separate the church.
Linatakikana lilitenge kanisa.
Separation in the spiritual realm.
Kutengwa katika nyanja ya kiroho.
Also means separation in the physical realm.
Pia inamaanisha kutengwa katika nyanja ya kiasilia.
It is meant to exalt the church.
Inatakikana ili kweze kanisa.
It is meant to edify the church.
Inatakikana ikaliinue kanisa.
Renovate the church.
Ikaliunde upya kanisa.
Revive the church.
Ikalivivie kanisa.
Rehabilitate the church.
Ilitengeze upya kanisa.
Resuscitate the church.
Ililifufue kanisa.
Wake the church up.
Iliamusha kanisa.
And everything else.
Na kila kitu kingine.
Bringing honor.
Ikileta heshima.
Glory.
Utukufu.
Dignity.
Ukuu.
And beauty.
Na urembo.
Let us continue looking at this garment now to another level. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter.
Geuka pamoja nami katika kitabu cha Petro wa pili.
Chapter 1.
Mlango ni wa kwanza.
And let us see what Jesus did.
Na hebu tuone kile ambacho Yesu alifanya.
And hence what you should do.
Na hivyo basi kile inachokupasa ufanye.
2 Peter.
Waraka wa pili wa Petro.
Chapter 1.
Mlango wa kwanza.
Verse 17.
Mustari wa 17.
He says.
Anasema.
For he Christ.
Mana yeye Kristo.
But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Lakini tulikuwa washuhuda wa ukuu wake.
Verse 17 now.
Mustari wa 17 sasa.
For he received honor and glory.
Maana alipewa heshima na utukufu.
From God the Father.
Kutoka kwa Mungu Baba.
When the voice came to him from the majestic glory.
Sauti ilipomjia katika utukufu mkuu.
Saying.
Ikisema.
This is my son.
Huyo ni mwanangu.
Whom I love.
Ambaye nampenda.
With him I am well pleased.
Ninapendezwa naye sana.
You remember what happened when Jesus was baptized.
Unakumbuka kilichofanyika wakati Yesu alipobatizwa.
And heaven opened.
Na bingu ikafunguka.
And when heaven opened.
Na bingu ilipofunguka.
The Lord decreed.
Bwana akatangaza.
That behold he is my son.
Ya kwamba tazama yeye ni mwanangu.
Meaning he entered into sonship.
Kumaanisha aliingia katika uwana.
Now you have become my son.
Sasa umefanyika mwanangu.
With whom I am well pleased.
Ambaye napendezwa naye sana.
Meaning when he came in that priesthood.
Kumaanisha alipoingia katika ukuhani huo.
All his life.
Katika maisha yake yote.
Anything he does.
Kitu chochote afanyacho.
Now must please God.
Sasa lazima ipendeze Mungu.
It's about pleasing God.
Inahusu kumpendeza Mungu.
The third one.
Ya tatu.
He says.
Anasema.
This is my son.
Huyo ni mwanangu.
Whom I love.
Ambaye nampenda.
With him I'm well pleased.
Naye nampendezwa naye sana.
Is the church wearing this garment?
Je, kanisa limevalia vazi hili?
We are called in the order, in that order.
Tumeitwa katika mpangilio huo.
Are we pleasing God?
Je, tunampendeza Mungu?
As we worship the Lord.
Tunapomwabudu Bwana.
Is he pleased?
Je, anapendezwa?
Verse 18.
Mustari wa 18.
He says,
anasema,
we ourselves had this voice.
Sisi wenyewe tulisikia sauti hii.
That came from heaven.
Ambayo ilitoka binguni.
When we were with him on the sacred mountain.
Wakati tulipokuwa pamoja naye kwenye ule mlima mtakatifu.
He took the church.
Alichukua kanisa.
To the mountain.
Kwa mlima.
And then behold.
Alafu tazama.
Heaven opened.
Bingu ikafunguka.
And when heaven opened.
Na wakati bingu ilipofunguka.
He had a conversation.
Akasikia mazungumzo.
And when he finished the conversation,
na alipoyamaliza hayo mazungumzo,
when he turned this way,
alipogeuka upande huu,
they saw his glory.
Wakaona utukufu wake.
They saw the glory of the Messiah.
Waliona utukufu wa Masihi.
They were covered by a cloud.
Walifunikwa na wingu.
When they were talking.
Walipokuwa kiongea.
When he turned this way.
Alipogeuka upande huu.
Behold the glory of the Messiah.
Tazama utukufu wa Masihi.
Because they said his raiment became totally glorified.
Maana wanasema mavazi yake yakafanywa ya utukufu kikamilifu.
Do you remember also when they came from Egypt?
Je, unakumbuka pia walipotoka kule Misri?
A cloud overshadowed them.
Wingu liliwafunika.
As they worshipped.
Walipoabudu.
You remember when he was baptized by the Jordan?
Wakumbuka wakati ambapo alipobatizwa kule Yordani?
A cloud overshadowed him.
Wingu lilimfunika.
And heaven opened.
Na bingu ikafunguka.
And he descended on him.
Na akashuka juu yake.
They said lighted on him.
Akashuka juu yake.
Is your salvation overshadowed by the Holy Spirit?
Je, wokovu wako umefunikwa na Roho Mtakatifu?
That is what he's asking here.
Hicho ndicho anachokuuliza hapo.
He said even the Messiah when he wore that garment.
Anasema hata Masihi alipolivalia hilo vazi.
He was totally overshadowed by the ministry of the Lord.
Alifunikwa kikamilifu na huduma wa Bwana.
In that way.
Katika njia hiyo.
The Messiah kept saying the following.
Masihi alizidi na kusema yafuatayo.
Let me do the work of he who sent me.
Hebu nikaifanye kazi yake yeye aliyenituma.
Whoever sees me has seen he who sent me.
Yeyote anionaye amemwona yeye aliyenituma.
Whoever loves me loved he who sent me.
Yeyote anipendaye amempenda yeye aliyenituma.
His life was totally overshadowed.
Maisha yake yalikuwa yamefunikwa kikamilifu.
Wearing this garment.
Akiwa amevalia hili vazi.
How about the church?
Na je, kulihusu kanisa?
Is your life overshadowed by the Lord?
Je, maisha yako yamefunikwa na Bwana?
Remember when your life is overshadowed by the Lord.
Kumbuka wakati maisha yako yanapofunikwa na Bwana.
Your shadow cannot be seen.
Kivuli chako hakiwezi kuonekana.
You are lost in there.
Umepotelea mule ndani.
Three events.
Matukio matatu.
And he says.
Na anasema.
The Lord invested in him.
Bwana akawekeza ndani yake.
That's another version, amplified.
Hiyo ni tafsiri nyingine ya amplified.
That the Lord invested in him.
Ya kwamba Bwana aliwekezesha ndani yake.
Sonship.
Uwana.
And also.
Na pia.
His voice.
Sauti yake.
And they say.
Na wanasema.
We were witnesses.
Tulikuwa mashuhuda.
We also heard.
Pia tulisikia.
When the Lord invested in him.
Wakati Bwana alipowekeza ndani yake.
And exalted him.
Na kumukweza.
We were witnesses.
Tulikuwa mashuhuda.
Meaning partakers.
Kumaanisha washiriki.
When he wore the garment.
Wakati alipovalia vazi.
The garment of Melchizedek.
Vazi la Melchizedeki.
The glorious garment.
Vazi la utukufu.
The eternal garment.
Vazi la milele.
The Lord invested in him.
Bwana aliwekezesha ndani yake.
He became the voice of God.
Alifanyika sauti ya Mungu.
Because heaven opened.
Kwa sababu bingu ilifunguka.
And the voice invested in his life.
Na
The church.
Kanisa.
Where is the voice of God in you?
Oh, sauti ya Bwana I wapi ndani yako?
These days.
Siku hizi.
Even non-born again.
Hata wale ambao hawajaokoka.
Can come to church.
Wanaweza kuja kanisani.
And point a finger at the church.
Na kulikonyezea kidole kanisa.
And say that look, she has fallen.
Na kusema tazama limeanguka.
Invested in him.
Amewekezesha ndani yake.
Exalted him.
Na kumkweza.
Is the church today exalted?
Je, kanisa leo hili limekwezwa?
But let me say this.
Lakini hebu niseme hivi.
This revival church.
Hili kanisa la uvivio.
This is a superior church.
Hili ni kanisa la kiwango cha juu.
This is an exalted church.
Hili ni kanisa lililokwezwa.
Because if you look at the mindset.
Maana ukiangalia mtindo wa nia.
I go all over the world.
Mimi huenda kote kote ulimwenguni.
So I see the church of Christ globally.
Kwa hivyo naliona kanisa la Kristo kote duniani.
Some places.
Mahali pengine.
I ask bishop.
Nauliza askofu.
Bishop.
Askofu.
Can you call those pastors?
Je, waweza pigia hawa wachungaji simu?
When they are preparing the healing service.
Wakati wanaandaa ibada ya uponyaji.
Tell them I want it to start in the morning.
Waambie ninataka ianze asubuhi.
Because I've looked at their program.
Kwa sababu nimeangalia ratiba yao.
It begins at 8 p.m.
Inaanza saa 2 ya usiku.
So bishop normally calls. I give him the number he calls.
Kwa hivyo nampatia askofu nambari na yeye kwa kawaida upiga.
He said the man of God says.
Anasema nabii wa Mungu amesema.
Please prepare.
Tafadhali jiandaeni.
Let people enter the stadium very early.
Wacha watu waingie kwenye uwanja mapema zaidi.
And in the morning the healing service begins.
Na asubuhi ibada ya uponyaji inaanza.
They tell the bishop.
Wanaambia askofu.
No.
Hapana.
Here it's different.
Hapa ni tofauti.
They have to come back from work.
Inabidi warudi kutoka kazini.
Have dinner.
Wakule chakula cha jioni.
Drink water.
Wanywe maji.
And juice.
Na juice kidogo.
And then carry some few juice and water in the backpack.
Alafu wabebe maji ya matunda kidogo na maji ya kunywa kwenye mabegi yao.
And some few sandwiches in case they will feel hungry again.
Alafu na sandwiches kidogo ili wasije wakasikia njaa.
So by the time they come to the stadium.
Kwa hivyo kufikia wakati ule wanakuja kwenye uwanja.
It will be around 8 p.m. now the meeting will be ready.
Itakuwa kama saa 2 ya usiku mkutano utakuwa tayari.
When I look at the mindset of the church outside there.
Wakati ninapotazama mpangilio wa mawazo ya kanisa kule nje.
And I look at your mindset in Kenya.
Alafu ninaangalia mpangilio wa mawazo yenu hapa Kenya.
When I enter.
Nilipoingia.
I always say.
Mimi husema kwa kawaida.
This is a blessed land.
Hii ni nchi iliyobarikiwa.
And so that's why I'm saying.
Na kwa sababu hiyo ninasema.
This is an exalted church.
Hili ni kanisa lililokwezwa.
Exaltation is in the spirit.
Na kukwezwa ni katika roho.
Let us move on.
Hebu tuendelee.
I want to look at now the priesthood in the book of 1 Peter.
Ninataka sasa niangalie ukuhani katika kitabu cha Petro wa kwanza.
And then I will now make the comparison.
Alafu sasa nitaleta kulinganisha.
The priesthood in 1 Peter.
Ukuhani katika Petro wa kwanza.
Chapter 2.
Mlango ni wa pili.
Verses 1 to 10.
Mstari wa kwanza hadi wa 10.
And I want to compare that.
Na ninataka nilinganisha hiyo.
With the priesthood in the book of John.
Na ukuhani katika kitabu cha Yohana.
Chapter 17.
Mlango wa 17.
Write them down. Book of John 17.
Iandike kitabu cha Yohana mtakatifu mlango wa 17.
Verses 17 to 19.
Mstari wa 17 hadi 19.
We already read a little bit about the first one.
Tayari tulisoma kidogo kuhusiana aina ile ya kwanza.
But let us compare.
Lakini hebu tulinganishe.
And then now run into the quality of the anointing.
Alafu sasa tuingie katika ufasaha wa upako.
Turn with me very fast the book of John.
Geuka pamoja nami kwa haraka sana katika kitabu cha Yohana.
Chapter 17.
Mlango wa 17.
And let's compare that with 1 Peter.
Na hebu tulinganishe hiyo na Petro wa kwanza.
That we read.
Pale tuliposoma.
John 17 verse 17 to verse 19.
Yohana mtakatifu 17 kuanzia 17 mpaka 19.
In this place.
Katika mahali hapa.
You are going to see the works of the priesthood of Christ.
mnaenda kuona kazi ya ukuhani wa Kristo.
And what he does.
Na kile anachofanya.
When he wears the garment of Melchizedek.
Wakati anapovalia vazi la Melchizedeki.
And again the Lord is speaking in parables to the church.
Na tena Bwana ananena kwa mafumbo kwa kanisa.
That in so doing.
Ya kwamba katika kufanya hivyo.
You may see your mirror image.
Uweze kuona umbo lako la kioo.
What your image is supposed to look like.
Kile ambacho umbo lako lastahili kufanana nalo.
And then make changes.
Alafu fanya mabadiliko.
He says.
Anasema.
John 17.
Yohana Mtakatifu 17.
Let's start from verse 15.
Hebu tuanzie mstari wa 15.
He says. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world.
Anasema, siombi kwamba waondoe ulimwenguni.
But that you protect them from the evil one.
Bali uwalinde na yule muovu.
They are not of the world.
Wao si wa ulimwengu huu.
Even as I am not of it.
Kama vile mimi nisivyo wa ulimwengu.
Sanctify them by the truth.
Uwatakase kwa ile kweli.
Your word is the truth.
Neno lako ndilo kweli.
As you sent me into the world.
Kama vile ulivyonituma mimi ulimwenguni.
I have sent them into the world.
Nami nimewatumwa vivyo hivyo.
For them I sanctify myself.
Kwa ajili yao najiweka wakfu.
That they too may be truly sanctified.
Ili nao wao wapate kutakaswa katika ile kweli.
What is the Lord saying here?
Je, Bwana yuasema yepi hapa?
About the glorious garment of the Messiah.
Kuhusu vazi la utukufu la Masihi.
The splendor of the Messiah's priesthood.
Ukuu wa ukuhani wa Masihi.
That you are called after.
Ambayo wewe umeitiwa kwao.
When you see the Lord doing the works of his priesthood.
Wakati unamuona Bwana akifanya kazi za ukuhani wake.
He's praying for them.
Anawaombea.
And when he prays for them.
Na anapowaombea.
He talks about their consecration.
Inanena kuhusu wakfu wao.
Their purification.
Utakaso wao.
Their sanctification.
Kutiwa wakfu kwao.
They are being made holy.
Kufanyika kwao watakatifu.
And by the word.
Na kwa neno.
Because he says.
Maana anasema.
That is the truth.
Hiyo ndio kweli.
Which sanctifies them.
Inayowatakasa.
And he says.
Na anasema.
That based on the sanctification of the word.
Ya kwamba kuzingatia utakaso wa neno.
Of the truth.
Ni ukweli.
Then they are sent.
Basi wanatumwa.
You see the Messiah.
Waona Masihi.
Doing his priesthood.
Akifanya ukuhani wake.
Wearing the garment that you have.
Akiwa amevalia lile vazi ulilo nalo.
And what does he do?
Na je, anafanya nini?
He prays for them.
Anawaombea.
Sanctification.
Utakaso.
Consecration.
Ukiwa wakfu.
Purification.
Usafisho.
Made holy.
Kutiwa watakatifu.
By the truth.
Na kweli.
Sent.
Wanatumwa.
I see the discipling here.
Ninaona kufanyika wanafunzi hapa.
And he says.
Na anasema.
That for their sake.
Ya kwa ajili yao.
I sanctify myself.
Ninajitakasa.
For their sake.
Kwa ajili yao.
I can pay any price.
Naweza kulipa gharama yoyote.
Remember from the beginning.
Kumbuka tangia mwanzo.
The Messiah was already holy.
Masihi alikuwa mtakatifu tayari.
And glorious.
Na mwenye utukufu.
And he was without sin.
Na alikuwa bila dhambi yoyote.
And he came without sin.
Na alikuja bila dhambi.
And left without sin.
Akaondoka bila dhambi.
But if it means.
Lakini ikimaanisha.
That if I have to sanctify myself again.
Ya kwamba ikibidi nijitakase tena.
That they may be sanctified.
Ili na wao watakasike.
I'll do it.
Nitafanya hivyo.
What do you see about this priesthood?
Je, unaona nini kuhusiana na ukuhani huu?
It is a selfless priesthood.
Ni ukuhani usiokuwa na ubinafsi.
The person is not here.
Huyu mtu hayupo hapa.
The mission is central.
Mwito ni wa kimsingi.
The mission is right in front of this priesthood.
Mwito uko mbele ya huu ukuhani.
The person is not there.
Mtu huyo hayupo.
And the first thing you see here.
Na kitu cha kwanza unachojionea hapa.
He's discipling.
Yeye anafanya uwanafunzi.
Based on his act.
Kuzingatia kitendo chake.
that the rest be sanctified.
Ya kwamba wengine wote wakatakasike.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Based on the act of the Messiah.
Kuzingatia kitendo cha Masihi.
Tell me.
Niambie.
Have you ever bothered?
Je, umewahi kujishughulisha?
That wearing this garment.
Ya kwamba kulivalia hili vazi.
And worshiping.
Na kuabudu.
That worship.
Ya kwamba hiyo ibada.
Is meant to sanctify them.
Inatakikana iwatakase wao.
But what he's saying here.
Lakini kile anachosema hapa.
Have you ever bothered?
Je, umewahi kujishughulisha?
That when you worship the Lord.
Ya kwamba unapomwabudu Bwana.
Wearing this garment.
Ukiwa umevalia hili vazi.
The obligation is this.
Kazi ni hii.
You should worship like this.
Inabidi uabudu hivi.
When you worship.
Unapoabudu.
They see.
Hao wanaona.
And they come to Christ.
Na wanakuja kwa Kristo.
That's what he's saying here.
Hicho ndicho anachosema hapo.
It is a worship.
Ni ibada.
Of doing exploit.
Ya kufanya majabu.
To exploit for the Lord from the world.
Yani kufanya majabu kwa Bwana kutoka kwa ulimwengu.
To harvest the soul.
Kuvuna nafsi.
And that's why.
Na ndio sababu.
He talks about the truth.
Inanena kuhusu ukweli.
So he's saying.
Kwa hivyo anasema.
If I have to worship in truth.
Ikibidi niabudu katika kweli.
Then let me worship in truth.
Basi hebu niabudu katika kweli.
If that is what it will take.
Kama hiyo ndio itagharimu.
For the church to worship in truth.
Kwa kanisa kuabudu katika ukweli.
But he was already worshiping in truth.
Lakini tayari alikuwa akiabudu katika ukweli.
He was already sanctified.
Tayari alikuwa ametakaswa.
Do you see the price paid?
Je, waona gharama iliyolipwa?
A selfless priesthood.
Ukuhani ambao hauna ubinafsi.
Let's